What's up, y'all? Welcome to the What Is Truth podcast. I am your host, Wheezy. Today, I am joined by a very special guest, Mr. Jason Burmes. How you doing, sir?
Very good.
Awesome, man. Thank you for coming on somewhat of a short notice. And we're live streaming on Odyssey. I just recently got canceled off of YouTube, so we're finding a new home. There's anyone questioning the official narratives seems to be having to find new homes as it stands. And good thing is, I'm starting to like it over here on Odyssey, a little bit more freer. And when we were on YouTube, it was a little bit more of a self-censorship type of deal. So this is a little bit more freer, man. So I brought you on, man. I'm a huge fan of your work. And Loose Change was one of the movies that, you know, documentaries that actually started opening my eyes, you know, to all the corruption going on and whatnot. And it was, you know, many of the points that you made were things that I had never really thought about. I had seen many of the movies on the, you know, from the official narrative, you know, the Hollywood movies, stories of this, stories of that. I knew those by heart. I actually became a firefighter because I was, inspired by, you know, the bravery of the firefighters of that day. And that got me involved in the fire service back in the late 2000s. And I had believed the official narrative for the longest of times. And about 6 years ago is when things started to click with me, man. I started questioning things. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. This doesn't make sense. And actually the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando is what first got me questioning things. And it went from there. And then it made me take a second look at 9/11. I'm like, you know, if that was a conspiracy, if the Pulse nightclub was a conspiracy, I've heard 9/11 was a conspiracy, but I never really paid too much attention to it. And that's when I actually started looking at stuff, and it turned my world upside down, man, you know. And so I want to thank you for that. You were instrumental in that, you know, with that great documentary. And so thank you for joining me today, man. And would love to pick your brain on that topic, especially with the 20-year anniversary coming up this year, you know. And it's been sad that it's slowly kind of getting forgotten, you know. It's been troublesome in many respects.
Well, it is unfortunate because we're about to be at the 20th anniversary of this event that is largely the excuse for where we are, both foreign and domestic, in this country right now. The same infrastructure that was built upon and legitimized via the war on terror, via homeland security systems, fusion centers, etc., is now being turned against the American people. And that was always the plan. When they went overseas, they were able to roll out their drones, their biometrics, their black sites, their torture, also legitimize mercenaries on a large scale. All, you know, wet dreams of a predator class that is trying to oppress us and successfully doing so at this point. You know, you mentioned in the very beginning about internet censorship. That is the next stage of this, which we're seeing. And it's now they're openly going to start viewing your text messages and basically fact-checking those. They've already done it on social media. We're very, very far along the line. And if people don't understand what actually happened on 9/11, and I tell people it is an international intelligence operation, okay, with role players in this country, Israel, Pakistan, and Saudi Arabia for the most part. But, you know, you have this global narrative. You know, a lot of people scoffed at global narratives before, but if COVID-1984 has shown us anything, these global narratives do exist, and this pressure for a new global governance system, a new world order, if you will, and by their own admissions, that's why I did Invisible Empire and New World Order defined, you know, all this great reset stuff, it's all collectivism repackaged again. And we're living in really interesting times. We've never seen global oppression like this before. We've never seen a real drive to force people into medical martial law tyranny on a level that's really unprecedented.
Yeah, 100%, man. I can't help but, you know, draw the parallels. And I've heard you mention it in on other shows and whatnot, but the whole COVID-1984, once you read George Orwell's exquisite work, you know, that was written all those decades ago, and how it resonates, and how it was especially resonating back in 2020, you know, just the whole, you know, controlling of the media, the narratives, the twisting of the facts. It's crazy, man. When it comes to your documentary, what edition are you guys on? I know there was, was it only the two editions or?
Which ones did I work on? I was on Loose Chain second edition. We put out a little recut of that, which had about 8-9 more minutes in it. And I believe took out the Cleveland section and things like that. But then I was a producer on Final Cut, which is my favorite version of Loose Change, because number one, it's the longest, it's the most in-depth, it's our own investigation. And I did a follow-up to that called Fabled Enemies, where instead of, you know, focusing on the physical anomalies, Shanksville, the Pentagon, the World Trade Center's Building 7, et cetera, instead I focused on, you know, the Pakistani ISI involvement, the FBI, the CIA, the war games, and those types of issues.
Okay. Yeah, man, I know Corbett has done a lot of work, and when I couple, you know, what you've done, what James has done, it's undeniable, man. You can't go back and look at 9/11 as a, you know, through the official narrative lens. There's just so much. You know, one of the things you hear people say is, and I love the title of it, Loose Change. You know, if this was a conspiracy, there'd be whistleblowers or this and that. And the name of your documentary, Loose Change, it fits so perfectly. So many loose ends. You can go down this rabbit trail, you can go down that rabbit trail. Some people want to focus on whether it was a controlled demolition or not. Some people will follow the money, the insider trading, before, during, and after. So many aspects. I live in Florida. And so to me, the whole Muhammad Atta point of it is something that has inspired me ever since, you know, I live in Florida, or, you know, moved down here. Muhammad Atta went to the flying bases near where I live, and I've driven by the house. I've driven by the houses of the royal Saudis that funded him, that were named, or not named, whose names were redacted in the 28 pages report. And so I follow that in Sarasota County. So Muhammad Atta lived in Sarasota County, okay? And the Saudis that funded him were also living in a prestigious area of Sarasota County. A lot of money down here. And the morning of, where was George Bush?
Well, actually, so there's a couple different things there. Let's talk about that. So Florida, you have Atta. A lot of people thought he was connected to some kind of a cartel because he was constantly referring to, quote unquote, the family. He was involved with Rudy Deckers. Decker's extremely sketchy past. He recently died, but I would encourage people to go check out Muhammad Atta and the Venice
Flying Circus. Daniel Hopsicker, man.
Yeah, Daniel Hopsicker's work on that is instrumental. I'd also say that I forgot, what was the last thing? Oh, you were talking about George Bush. George Bush was actually in the White House the morning of 9/11, believe it or not. He'd spent the night there. And then he went off to a Carlyle Group meeting where he met, I believe it was Bin Laden's half-brother, was amongst people that were shareholders.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, during the attacks, when he was reading the little My Pet Goat deal, that was in Sarasota.
Well, I'm sorry. I was talking about George Bush Sr.
Oh, okay.
You are correct that George Bush Jr. was in Sarasota, Florida, with the school books. I thought you were referring to the old man. But yes, you're correct there as well. And just in the last couple of years, they did this really interesting documentary on Air Force One and what was going on there. And Andrew Card actually speaks in it. And they're quite open with the fact that, you know, when all this was going on, they weren't sure whether or not they had had even a mole or somebody on the inside on the plane. You know, there were codes there. They tried to whitewash a lot of situations, but so much happened that morning. And I really think that George Bush Jr. Is nothing more than an idiot pawn. You know, he was put there as a mouthpiece, a puppet. The administration behind him was very involved in building this national security state, national programs office. People like Dennis Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz, of course, Dick Cheney. And they had key and integral roles on the morning of 9/11, as well as after the fact to manage information.
Right, right. Yeah, man. And like I said earlier, just so many rabbit holes to go down. When it comes to the whole 9/11 deal, in your personal opinion, what do you think is the smoking gun? I mean, like we said, there's so many angles to tackle it. But just in your personal view.
You know, everybody asks about a smoking gun, but like you said, there are so many different angles. It depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for, you know, a smoking gun of Pakistani involvement, I would say that wire transfer to Mohammed Atta from General Mahmoud Ahmed through Omar Saeed Sheikh. People like Biden and others have owned up to that fact. Funny how no one asked him that. On the way to his faux presidency. Of course, I doubt he would have remembered it. Zombie Joe doesn't remember much these days. But the fact that he'd also met with Bob Graham and Porter Goss on the morning of 9/11, George Tenet, Condoleezza Rice prior, that seems to be a smoking gun of state censor or state sponsorship and, of course, military intelligence involvement on many levels. And then, of course, the administration lying after the fact of that involvement. Those are red flags. Right there, smoking guns right there. Building 7, you know, obviously a huge smoking gun. Outside of what physically happens to it, you look at what's in there. You had the largest Secret Service agency, I believe, in the world, which is odd, obviously, because you'd think that would be in the in D.C., but you also had the largest CIA base outside of Langley. You had the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, and so many others. Obviously, the Office of Emergency Management. There's just no way around that no plane hit that building, that it looks like explosive events happened in that building, aside from what happened at the World Trade Center. And then, of course, it was brought down by a controlled demolition. You could look at the war games. You could look at the Israelis detained before, on, and after 9/11. We go on and on and on, but that's why I've made these films, because, like you said, there is just so much to focus on. You want to make sure that people understand that this was not incompetence and that this was actually a concerted effort, a true, quote-unquote, conspiracy that goes beyond just Muslim extremists, Osama bin Laden, and box cutters.
Yeah, yeah, 100%, man. Yeah, the whole narrative that these were extremist Muslims that wanted jihad on America, and then you find out about Mohammed Atta tapping a stripper's ass, doing lines of cocaine, and the CIA knew about him for the longest of times. It becomes, if it wasn't for the tragic, you know, the deaths that ensued because of it, you'd almost find it laughable, you know, that, you know, the whole story. But unfortunately, thousands lost their lives innocently, you know, and tragically. And, you know, as I mentioned at the very beginning, it's been every year that passes, I take some time out and focus on the lives lost and how our lives have changed. And it saddens me that as we get further and further away, it's like it's almost getting swept under the rug. It almost seemed like last year no one even talked about it. And I'm blasting it on my social media, man. Never forget. We kept saying that shit. We kept saying never forget, and now it seems like many have forgotten. And, you know, when I look back at history, you look at something like Pearl Harbor. And when did Pearl Harbor, ask the average American, when did Pearl Harbor happen? What happened? No one can give you an answer. And that's what I fear is going to happen with September 11 in a few years. People are going to forget what even happened. And all you're going to be able to dig up is official narratives, a clipping from Fox News, a clipping from MSNBC. And that's going to be considered, quote unquote, the historical backing. And that's why I think it's important where we have to voice out what really happened. Wake people up. And, you know, you were an inspiration to myself. And so now I view it as my job to try to wake other people up, you know, and it doesn't matter if YouTube tries to cancel us or not, you know, the truth still is going to get out one way or another, you know?
Well, you know, again, in regards to 9/11, we're about to hit that 20th year anniversary. And in many respects, it has been relegated to the dustbin of history. Many people that were even around then really don't have the mental capacity to remember 5, 10 years back, let alone almost 20. But when you say never forget, people have to realize for at least 5+ years, really closer to 10, every single day there was something on the television about 9/11. Yeah. And if you think Corona, you've been absorbed in that, 9/11 was just as pervasive. And you have to remember that these wars of aggression that took place, sure, Afghanistan took place relatively quickly after, but the Iraq war didn't take off till 2003, and they certainly weren't done after that. They wanted Syria. They wanted Libya. And slowly but surely, they were able to make that case through 9/11, 9/11, 9/11, 9/11, Al-Qaeda, 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 slowly morphing that into ISIS, turning the conversation away from all those that had enough pre-2008 of the Iraq war and of Guantanamo Bay and Abu Ghraib and black sites, period, and then just ignoring that and going full force into what would become the Syrian conflict, right? And the creation of ISIS. And anybody can look this up. Al-Qaeda became our allies in that war. Al-Nusra, Al-Qaeda affiliates, and all this other. Just like prior to 9/11, you know, the quote-unquote freedom fighters and the Muslim Brotherhood, they were our allies along with Osama bin Laden. So, unfortunately, even around the time of 9/11, so many people were ignorant to most of these facts that's why we're in the situation we are in now. And society is really degraded to the point where pop culture-wise, you know, just to give you a microcosm of where we're at, this past weekend, you had Conor McGregor, who is a violent serial rapist, and you had people cheering for him. He's not a good person. Forget about, you know, punching old men in the face. Forget about the fact that he just cornered a woman, a married woman, in a bar right before a charity event with the Princess of Monaco with his security and, you know, whipped his Johnny Nonsense out, his wang dangle. That's acceptable behavior. And then the media will portray him as a family man, as a good person. Meanwhile, Dustin Poirier is a family man, good person, is building homes in Uganda, or I'm sorry, is it Uganda?
Building wells for the pygmies in the Congo with Justin Wren. He's part of that foundation. Doing good shit. And I did see the fight.
Dustin's actually a winner. Let's be clear. Dustin has, I'm a huge MMA guy. Dustin has, you know, cleaned out that division outside of Khabib Nurmagomedov. The only fight that Conor's won in the last 4 or 5 years was the Cowboy Fix, which was a fixed fight where, again, they promoted him as a family man who hugged Cowboy's grandmother right after being investigated for pulling a woman out of a bar and into a car to give him oral sex on top of the violent, brutal rape in 2018 that nobody seems to want to talk about. Meanwhile, Disney, who owns ESPN, the UFC, who has that deal with them, WME Entertainment, Reebok, when they had that deal, they all praised this guy. They all, you know, propped him up and will continue to do so because he's worth billions to them. Even though he's a loser, even though he's on the ground with a broken leg saying that he'll kill Dustin Poirier and his wife in his sleep and putting a gun symbol to his head, they'll still promote him. 1.8 million pay-per-view buys. Now, I want people to understand that. Now, he's worth that to them, so they'll promote that, and they'll lie and gaslight you till he's not profitable. What do you think is going on now on much larger scales? If society can get away with that gaslighting, what do you think's being done to you with COVID-1984? What do you think's being done to you with a gene therapy shot or a vector-based shot that was developed by DARPA 20-plus years ago? It has CRISPR tech, has no characteristics whatsoever of a traditional vaccine that has an annotated version of the virus in it, okay? Instead, they're literally injecting you with military tech and telling you it's safe and effective. And when they say that, they don't even mean about transmission. But the average person is so fucking toast. Oh, I hope I can curse on this show.
Oh, man, I swear all the fucking time, bro.
That they don't get it, man. That somehow a guy who's a beauty school fucking dropout, bro, that's not even a college graduate, yeah, is spitting more truth than these so-called Harvard and Yale and Princeton intellectuals, the people that are supposed to be looking out for us with some dissent. It's disgusting.
Yeah, man, 100%. And the dumbing down of the people, man, just hook, line, and sinker. And like I said, I've only been woken up just a few years, man, a few years. But so I can still kind of remember what it was to believe in these official narratives, man. And now that I'm completely out of that shit and I look at it with a new fresh set of eyes, man, they're shoving that shit. I was one of those guys that would listen to NPR news on the daily. You know, listen to this, you know, get in, get, you know, at be learned about the political situations going on, learn this and learn that. You know, I'm from the ghetto, but I have always tried to not use that as an excuse. I've always tried to self-educate myself on various topics, various subjects that are intriguing to me.
And by the way, my friend, you have a very NPR tone about you, the way you talk. Very reserved, and it's calming. And, you know, you can talk about being from the ghetto, but you're doing so in a very insightful and eloquent manner, I must say.
Oh, man, you got to hear me on Saturdays when I do these live streams and we get partying. I get a couple of beers in me. And then the whole tone changes. Oh, man, but when I haven't listened to NPR, man, especially since the whole COVID shit hit. And when I listen to it, it's just straight up programming, man. Propaganda programming. COVID, 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 COVID. Now, I don't want to speak for how you feel about it, but I'm one of those, you know, there's some camps that say it doesn't exist at all. I'm not in that camp. It does exist. Now, I also believe it's been greatly exaggerated. My parents came down with it. My dad got pretty sick, but he was okay. My mom, it really hit her pretty hard. Now, that being said, when that, you know, sometimes with stuff like that, you're like, oh shit, I gotta reassess my stance. It didn't really make me reassess, because I had already felt that it was a real thing. Now, it was greatly exaggerated. I mean, the survivability rate, and if you're in good health, and if you're young, taking all those factors into consideration, you're going to be all right. It's not the Black Plague.
Let's talk about it for a second, because I moved from New York to Iowa. I was an upstate guy, but I think I contracted along with my sister and her kids in November and had a lot of the long-term effects. You know, it wasn't even really talked about, but out of nowhere in November, I lost my taste and smell. And then, you know, I just turned 40 at the time, so I didn't give much thought to it, but my lungs didn't feel right, smoke a lot of weed, had to change my blunt type, still was hurting me. That goes away. Then I start having all these other issues that aren't going away. And, you know, I got to tell you, you know, along with that, the two girls got so sick that when my sister got sick, she was hitting the kid's inhaler. We now know Budesonide works as a treatment. Ivermectin. They demonized hydroxychloroquine as an early treatment. All those things. But at the end of the day, what is this thing? Well, it looks like a seeded bioweapon, not a leak, you know, not something natural. None of those things are natural. And even if it had been 10 times more deadly, why in the world, if a bioweapon was released by, you know, obviously either some combination or consortium of government entities and private interests, one or the other, doesn't matter, on the pop, why should I listen to those same entities when they want to inject me with what I equate as another bioweapon? It sounds insane. And, you know, you talk about this, it's not like they didn't try to push the vaccine on your parents that had already had it. It's not like they were testing people for the antibodies and then saying, oh, wait, no, you have natural immunity. We're not going to give you the shot. In New York City, they were literally rolling up to you with soldiers asking if you wanted one, hitting you up and giving you your Metro card. Like, that's the insanity.
Yeah, 100%, man. Yeah, so you're in Iowa now is what you're saying, right? Yeah, out here in Florida, it's been a, I've been telling people, man, it's practically been open the entire time. And it's been awesome. Shit, man, I can probably count the amount of times I've worn a mask since the whole thing started. I mean, when it first hit, you know, for sure, I was a, I think we were all kind of scared. We didn't know what the hell was going on, and we were all worried. So, yeah, I did take it serious, man. But after a little while, some of the shit didn't start adding up. Given the nature of work that I did, I was just like, why isn't it hurting my workplace worse? Why this? Why that? And you got to remember, Florida per capita in the U.S. has one of the more older populations.
A ton.
Yeah. And you're going to tell me this is the most deadliest shit that we've had in decades, perhaps. And it ravages old people. We're chilling. We're straight up chilling out here in Florida. I don't see no damn body bags. I go to the hospitals around here and I didn't see no damn lines. And the, you know, when it first came out, you would see the images of the, you know, some hospital, I think it was in New York. I remember seeing some some bodies getting loaded up. And I'm like, holy shit. And then I also saw some of the video footages in China, I think it was, where they're dragging people out of buses and quarantine people. That was scaring the shit out of me, man. That was like some 28 days later type of shit. You know, the zombie apocalypse was coming down.
It is scary, dude, because all that happened, man. You know, people don't understand. Like, New York, because of the policies of Cuomo denying people any kind of early treatment, anything outside of the norm, banning hydroxychloroquine. To this day, you still can't get ivermectin or budesonide unless you get a prescription from a doctor outside of the state, and you still might have to fight for it. The fact they were putting these people on vents, putting sick people in the nursing homes around the country. I want it to be clear. New York really did have that many deaths. Down in the city, I know people that were working in homes. They were having double the amount of people dying there. But it was based on the policies, not just the virus. You know, all these lies surrounding this thing. I said it from the very beginning. I will believe this is a natural occurring virus, okay, when billionaires start dying from it. Because then, you know, the billionaires aren't able to protect themselves. Maybe it was natural occurring. Maybe there isn't something out there that you can treat it with. Billionaires taken out by COVID, zero.
Yeah. How convenient. Yeah, man, it's so many things don't add up, man, and that's a problem. You know, out here in Florida too, some of the deaths that were being attributed to COVID were being highlighted out here, you know, where maybe other states were probably suppressing that shit. Out here, they were like, wait a minute, what the hell's going on? There was one gentleman that tragically died in a motorcycle accident. And they ended up listing his death as a COVID death. And the family rightfully so, was like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys? This wasn't a COVID death. This was a tragic motorcycle accident death. And it's these little things. And, you know, I started doubting the whole fucking bat theory pretty much as soon as the alternative theory started coming out. I was like, yeah, man, it's, I'm not buying this whole bat shit. It probably did come out of
bat. I said, are you out of your fucking mind? Like, yeah. It's the most ridiculous thing in the world to think that, you know, somehow a bat in a wet market in China globally seeded a flu that caused people not to be able to taste and smell and would give people cystic fibrosis type symptoms if they had long-term effects on it. It's nuts.
Yeah. Well, I know Ricky had Dr. Malone, I believe it is.
Yes.
On his podcast yesterday, or he uploaded it yesterday, and I had Ricky on last night, and, you know, he also worked on a little bit on the HIV virus, you know, studying, and it's just interesting. When you start seeing the pattern, that's the same thing with conspiracies in general. You start to see patterns. That's one of the biggest red flags, at least for me, man. You start seeing these little patterns in many other, you know, events that get classified as conspiracies. It's like they use the same template and don't change much from it. You know, whether it's cameras not working, you know, like a 9/11 or in the Jeff Epstein deal, war games, drills, all this bullshit. You start seeing patterns. They always happen in all these suspicious events. And so when you start to learn a little bit about the HIV deal, and, you know, we were, for the longest time, what were we told? It was a dude humping a monkey. You know what I'm saying? And now with this COVID shit, it was, don't call it the China virus. That's racist. But yeah, it probably came by the Chinese people eating bats.
Well, let's talk about it, man. Second, because, you know, when we were talking about these shots, most people would go to the Tuskegee experiments and be like, well, yeah. Tuskegee. Hey, how about it's way more scary, as bad as that was, and other human experimentation done by this government, which way supersedes that stuff. The fact that Bayer injected hemophiliacs, mostly children, in this country in the 80s with a drug called Factor VIII that gave them live HIV. And then when they got caught, they sent it to Europe and Japan. Anybody can look this up. Anybody. So why in the world, again, would I take a mandated shot from anyone in this country or around the world when a company that injected fucking people with HIV is not only still in business, but also absorbed Monsanto, a company currently embroiled in lawsuits for giving people cancer?
Yeah, yeah, 100%, man. And whenever you bring up these verifiable facts, not conspiracy theories, man, these are facts, and you bring them up, it's always moving the goalposts with these clowns. That was then. Times are different now. And you bring up this example, and you bring up another example, and another example, and they still, for whatever reason, remain in denial. And when when I tell people, I'm like, I bring up shit from the 60s, and then I bring up stuff from the 80s, then I bring up stuff from the 90s, and I go, did you forget about Jeff Epstein? That's in current fucking times. Why do you keep sticking your goddamn head in the sand? It's just over and over and over. But at the same time, I mean, the propaganda is strong, so you can't get too mad at these folks. The brainwashing is strong, so we just got to do it the best we can and in a loving way, you know, and slowly they'll come around. That's what happened to me. When I believed the official narratives, one of my buddies who believed in conspiracies and some of the stuff that he believes, you know, believes still is still a little too far-fetched for me. But you know what I'm saying? He's the one that got the ball rolling for me.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
I think that people need to be, you know, basically open-minded to everything. Use your own discernment. Yeah. Listen to everybody. You know, don't stick to a Fox News or an MSNBC or a CNN or a CBC or any kind of narrative, right? None of it. And don't just listen to the alternative. Look at the facts yourself. You can do your own research. You're a grown-up. And then you use a thing called discernment. But I would say this, anything that's being promoted in mass by the mainstream media, global government, politicians, Hollyweird, be skeptical of. Have some healthy skepticism. Skepticism.
100%. Yeah, that's the thing. One of the things I always tell my viewers is, you know, don't listen to me. I talk a lot of shit. I try to give you the best available evidence. And when I don't know something, I'll tell you, look, I'm not 100% sure on this. Check it out. And I go, doesn't matter who's saying it. Doesn't matter if it's a scientist saying it. Doesn't matter if it's a priest or a pastor saying it. No matter who, double check it, triple check it, quadruple check it. Make sure you're certain. And so when I speak about something that I'm fairly knowledgeable, you know, I'll definitely be in there. But when I don't know something, I'm not scared to say, look, I don't know too much on that. I'll look into it, but I don't want to comment. I don't want to be bullshitting anyone. And so I don't know. That's the way I look at it anyways. And I think what you said is just discernment.
When did we have to have all the answers as human beings? Since when did we have to agree on everything as human beings? Since when was it not okay to be wrong? How are you supposed to grow as a person if you can't absorb information that is contrary to your belief system and then change your belief system based on that information? It's called being human. It's the progression of a life cycle. And we've allowed, you know, this mainstream narrative to try to demonize those traits.
Yeah. And that's also called science, supposedly. You're supposed to change with the facts. You should. And we're living in times, and I'm huge on science, you know what I'm saying? But you also see the fuckery going on with science. A lot of shit's going on, and it becomes politicized, it becomes ideological, science is being ignored, you know, when it comes to, for example, trans athletes in sports and whatnot. How the fuck is that science? You know, I listened to Neil deGrasse Tyson's Star Talk podcast, based on the nature of work that I do. I mean, that's pretty much all I do is just podcast all day long. Makes my day go easier. So I do listen to Neil deGrasse Tyson, even though there's a lot of shit I don't agree with him, but he is a smart guy. There's no denying that. You can feel how you want about him, and you know that's what it is. But I just try to learn. But the other day he had a show, and they were talking about trans athletes in the Olympics and sports. I was like, huh, I want to listen to this shit. This is a science-based show. And as I listened to it, not a goddamn part of it was scientific at all. It was all emotions and how they felt, and them trying so fucking hard to walk the politically correct line and scared to really say how they really feel. And this is the kind of bullshit that we're in right now, where we voice how we feel. Oh, you're a bigot. Oh, you're this, you're anti this, you're anti that. And shit, for the longest time, I viewed myself as a lefty. Nowadays, I don't know what the fuck I am. I'm not a right winger. I'm nothing. I'm just politically homeless for the time being. It's just, I don't fit in anywhere. And I'm fine with it. I'm not sad about it. I'm going to continue to make my own thoughts and observations. I'm going to look at both sides. Both sides make good points at certain times, you know, and when one side make a good point, the other one might make a good point on a different matter. And so why the hell are we supposed to be married to these ideological sides when at the end of the day they're both on the same fucking team? And it's all this divide and conquer that we keep falling, man. Whether it's, you know, smooth talking Obama and then we forget about the drone attacks and all this other bullshit that went on, or Trump and his outlandish behavior and we forget about his Epstein ties, and then Biden and the Hunter Biden laptops. All these people that defend these clowns, They defend their good shit, but you also got to remember all these fuckers don't get up there magically because they're good. You got to be, maybe I'm wrong, but the way I look at it, to get to these top levels, you got to be one dirty ass motherfucker, man. And
No, I agree. In most cases, I think there are some exceptions to that. For instance, even if you look at somebody like Jimmy Carter, right? I think
yeah.
Jimmy Carter, he comes from an affluent family, things like that. But I think for the most part, he really was a good person, was trying to do good in politics. But then you get the Brzezinskis of the world inside, right? And then all of a sudden you have Iran-Contra, you have the Kissingers. You can't fight that. Dennis Kucinich would be another one on the Democratic end. Rand Paul, Ron Paul, obviously his
Ron
father, those
Paul.
exceptions. Yeah, they're there.
The Ken, what's his name? The Kennedy, with the messed up voice. He's got some kind of a disease. One of
Oh, you're
the
talking about Robert Kennedy Jr.
Robert Kennedy, man. That's
Yeah, I
guy
mean, again,
dropping truth
talks about some
bombs.
real issues. Even Naomi Wolf worked for the Clintons. She's not high into the political spectrum. But I would agree, man. You have a lot of these people that are subservient to that predator class because they are social climbers and they crave to become a part of that establishment. And I think a great example of that social climbing would be the Bush family, right? Prescott Bush
Yeah.
coming up, marrying a bonesman's sister. Being a bonesman himself, being involved in the military-industrial complex, the OSS, the birth of the CIA, and
They were even tied to the damn Nazis.
exactly on both sides of World War II. By the way, doing business with them through Brown
Yeah.
Brothers Harriman, it was actually, I believe, oh man, who's the J. Edgar Hoover had actually seized a lot of his assets because of that and arrested him. I think it was not seized, but frozen his assets. Due to the Trading with the Enemies Act. But again, so much is shrouded in our American history post-World War II because of the national security state that we built and the Bourne classified stuff. I'd encourage people to check out Annie Jacobson and all her work from Area 51 to Operation Paperclip. Operation Paperclip itself still has 600 million, 600 million, 600 million classified documents to it. If we don't know the truth about World War II and
Holy
post-World
shit.
War II, yeah, how do we
Yeah.
know the truth about anything?
600 million? How the hell are we gonna even sort through that shit? God
Great question.
damn.
If we ever see it, you know what I mean? And that shows you that we've only seen a fraction of the technology that the world, that the human populace, through compartmentalization, actually knows. There's so much out there. DARPA, what they're doing now. Again, Annie Jacobson is really an amazing resource. And if people are not aware of her work, it is just so well researched. It only gives you like the slightest fraction of a glimpse into what we're actually dealing with. But I think people need to take that glimpse because right now, for instance, it's now been 2 months since Newsweek put out a story called America's Secret, I'm sorry, Exclusive Inside the Military Secret Undercover Army. Which is 60,000 people strong, operates inside the United States, has no accountability, has been going on for over a decade, takes on domestic and foreign assignments, and is called signature reduction. And they refer to it as an art form. So, we are so far along this really transhumanist movement because right now what you're seeing is they're trying to get people accommodated to a universal basic income. People will tell you it's the Chinese model. It's not. It's not just communism. It's not just authoritarianism. It is full-on collectivism ruled top-down by a predator class to bring in an automation nation, a UBI, and eventually a transhumanist movement where the vast majority of us will no longer be necessary, and they try to trick us into a virtual environment.
God damn. Got some Westworld shit going on then, huh?
Exactly. Listen, I'm glad you brought up Westworld because it is key to understanding what's really going on. And when I say key, when they step outside of the park in the third season and you see the corruption, you see the AI algorithms, you see the implanted memories, you see the social credit score on the phone, you see the surveillance. That's exactly the, you see the automation, you see the robots, you see the raw, everything, everything. That, and it's in Singapore, it's not in the United States.
Yeah.
So You know, that Westward World analogy, I think, is more correct than you know.
Well, and the thing is, the CIA is involved with a lot of these big budget, you know, blockbusters. And so sometimes they just throw that shit out there to get us conditioned to accepting this shit. You know, one of those other ones that kind of hits is The Handmaid's Tale. I don't know if you're familiar with that show.
I've heard a lot about it in medical martial law. People constantly, you know, tell me about it. I have not seen that. But, you know, speaking to the CIA, entertainment, infiltrating Hollywood, et cetera, I would say look at Disney. You know, it's a well-known fact that the CIA helped procure land so that Disneyland could exist. I think it was Disneyland and
Disney
not World.
Or land?
Disney World in Florida, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, you now have a company, Disney, that owns ESPN. It owns the Star Wars franchise. It owns Fox. It owns The Simpsons.
Yeah.
You know, it owns all these other adult entertainment. It owns Marvel. You know, it owns the biggest properties in entertainment. You know, and it itself is, in my opinion, what they like to call a Trojan horse civilian system. Like, people try to tell me that Google somehow is a company because it's traded on the stock market.
Hey,
just because it's traded on the stock market doesn't mean shit. The stock market, again, is so manipulated that in case you forgot, when this pandemic started to kick off in this country in mid-March, they just stopped the fucking stock market again and again and again over several weeks every time it was tanking. That's artificial. Google was funded by InQtel, which is the CIA company that seeds these groups. Google is in bed with NASA in quantum computing and artificial intelligence. It is the largest search engine in the world, has the second largest search engine in the world, which is YouTube, which is also the largest video platform in the world. It has the largest operating system, Chrome, in the world. And the largest, Android, and then the largest web browser, Chrome. It's beyond a monopoly, obviously.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I thought that shit was supposed to be illegal, man. And that's the thing, man, all these things in plain sight. And you don't hear anyone bitching about it. You know, like the people that can, if they really want to do make changes, they never say a goddamn peep about this. You got Bezos amassing his fortunes and no one says shit, man. And you got, of course, Bill Gates, who's taking a huge fall from grace. But, you know, this guy was revered as a savior for a while, even though he had a shitty reputation back in the 90s. But they started cleaning up his image. And for whatever reason, I don't know what happened, but they're like, fuck Bill Gates. And he's thrown his ass under the bus. But, you know, one thing I kept telling people that were defending Bill Gates, I'm like, because they were like, oh, well, Bill Gates is a good guy. He's donating his money to, you know, philanthropy and all this bullshit. I'm like, why has his net worth doubled since the fucking 90s? You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not giving away shit. You're not, if you're giving away all your fucking money, you're not going to double up your money. And, yeah, the whole thing is, so many players, man. So many, it's just a spider web or an octopus with so many tentacles all over the damn place. I should have asked you how,
You know, check out my film, Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined. We name some of the players. We name some of the groups.
Where can they find it?
It's free on YouTube, my entire playlist in the documentary film section, but also Shade the Motion Picture. You know, Shade the No Motion Picture, it's less than 90 minutes. It actually has a 20-minute section on Bill Gates. Then I was warning people about Gates over a decade ago. The film itself is 8-plus years old, and it warned you about Gates and Monsanto and farmland and the weather and vaccines, all these things I was kicking and screaming about then. So Shade the Motion Pictures, extremely important to check it out. But, you know, people can follow me all over. Rockfin right now is the place to be. Rockfin.com/Jason Burmis. I should be back on YouTube tomorrow. We'll see. You know, we've been getting kicked off here and there. 60,000 plus strong over there. Channel for 14 years, trying to fight the powers that be through these tools. Because, look, technology can either be used to empower humanity or enslave it. And YouTube, Google, you know, Alphabet, the NSA, NASA, whatever you want to call them, are trying to enslave the minds of men. And we've got to use their same tools against them. So that's what I'm encouraging people to do, is utilize those tools to spread actual information that they don't want people to have, because they don't want well-educated, independent human beings that can think and provide for themselves and their family.
Yeah, 100%, man. And the whole Google thing, you know, I told you the whole Pulse nightclub is what woke me up back. And that was when, I think it was in 2016 is when that happened. And back then, you could find all kinds of shit on the Pulse nightclub, like conspiracy angles on YouTube. Try finding anything conspiracy related regarding the Pulse nightclub on YouTube. You're not going to find it. You'll find a lot of stuff over here on Odyssey and these other alternative platforms. But unfortunately, YouTube is where the mass numbers are. You know, even though, so you kind of got to play the system. I still got some backup channels on YouTube. And if I have any quote unquote YouTube friendly guests, that's where I'll live stream from. But, it sucks, man. I had several thousand and just like that, bam, community guidelines, get the fuck out of here. And so I've slowly tried to been trying to make the move over here, to Odyssey. It's a different vibe. I mean, fucking on YouTube, we were getting 300, sometimes 600 concurrent viewers. And I usually live stream on Saturdays. A lot of my viewers are from the UK. So the ones we have right now are insomniacs. They should be in bed right now, you goddamn knuckleheads. But, it's the way I look at it, man. We also got to embrace these alternative platforms, especially the decentralized ones. Decentralization is where it needs to be, man. This whole centralized bullshit, terms of service crap, it's just disasters waiting to happen, man. You know, eventually any centralized platform is going to try to be like a YouTube, you know, at some point. You know, maybe they'll start off a little bit more freer, but eventually everybody wants to be big dog, and money corrupts. Money and power corrupt, unfortunately. So decentralized is the way to go. But unfortunately, there's nothing really mainstream at the moment as far as the decentralization route. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, again, I've been able to move 25,000 plus over to Rockfin, and they've not restricted my speech at all. So, you know, it's utilizing the blockchain. It's actually the only reason that I've been able to make a living, as, you know, I was demonetized on YouTube like a year and a half ago at this point. So, Odyssey's backed up my YouTube channel that couldn't be there tomorrow. I think it's great. I think we have to utilize those tools too, move people to those platforms and invest in those platforms as well. But we can't just let these people get away with being able to control the narrative and act like they're just a company, because it's not really about monopolies. It's a one world technopoly.
Yeah, you know,
Eric Schmidt is telling you he wants one answer. And as you've seen, there shouldn't be just one answer. We have not figured out every answer to every question as the human, as a human race, nor will we ever. Because, again, part of being human is being, you know, basically failed, you know, basically being a flawed being. And, you know, we do the best we can with the information we have and the robust debates we can have with one another. When that's lost, humanity's lost.
Yeah, 100%, man. It's, you know, like I was telling you, I'm a huge believer in science, but I get we've gotten to a point right now where if you question the science, that's wrong. And I'm not a religious person myself. I don't have any faith. However, I see a lot of the shit going on with science, the way the church was acting in the Middle Ages. You know, believe this. This is the new dogma. Accept this. You, if don't be a heretic. Don't be those tinfoil hat heretics. And supposedly science has always been, you always got to question it. You always got to question it. And if better, more reasonable information comes out, you need to learn to adapt it. You don't just stick on your ways once you've been proven wrong. And that's what we've seen time and time and again, especially during this whole COVID shit, with Fauci doubling down on the mask bullshit. And then his emails come out and he didn't even fucking buy into it. And it's, it's all a fucking game. But yeah, going back to the whole being able to use the systems, you know, that's why I haven't completely abandoned YouTube. We got to use it. We got to use it. But at the same time, I don't want to risk, you know, like having this conversation on YouTube, probably not a good idea. I would have the Google moderators on the live chat. They'd come in and they would remove my moderator's comments, even though they were like completely benign comments. It's not like they were going too damn wild, but they'd be removing shit. And so that was one of the reasons I was like, man, I need to move away. I still want to have somewhat of a presence on YouTube, but the way I want to do it is, like I said, to have the YouTube friendly stuff, you know, on YouTube, and that'll expose me to other people. And then if they like my shit, they'll, you know, I'm going to keep hitting them. Hey, look, all my other shit is on these other platforms. And that's one way to try to rope people in and hopefully wake people up. I don't know.
Well, that's what I've been doing, man. Yeah. A lot of times I'm going live on multiple platforms. And then once we get to the more hardcore stuff, I tell people, well, you want to watch the rest of the video, you got to come over to Rockfin. And again, it's a platform that is free and fair. And I got to tell you, once again, not only have they empowered me, but, you know, I'm one of the top dogs over there. And you go over to rockfin.com, it's going to be hard not to see Jason Burmese's stuff. So I would encourage your audience to go make a free account over there as well. I do want to thank Odyssey again for backing up my entire channel of 2,000 plus videos up. It's an easy way to see the last video that got banned from YouTube. But again, man, it's up to us, right? We can't just stand here and allow this to happen. But again, then again, we're lying down for them looking through our text messages and sending us info on that. We're lying down to the fact that
we get Alexas in our houses or freaking.
Yeah, they installed a zombie puppet, or they're going to go door to door to our houses to tell us about a poison. Like, we're very, very far gone, my friend. However, my man, I got something coming up. We're coming up on an hour, so I do got to bounce in a moment.
Yeah, man. Send me your contact information. I'll put that in the description. I'm sure more people will watch it tomorrow. Like I said, it's most of the audience is from the UK, so it's only a few insomniacs. So send that over to me. What is the, you want people to check you out mostly on Rockfin or?
Rockfin.com/Jason Burmese, right there, Twitter @Jason Burmese, or youtube.com/InfoWarrior. Go check it all out.
My man, thank you so much. It was a pleasure and would love to do it again, man. Maybe next time a little more into the 9/11. That's what I wanted to get you on. But a fascinating conversation nonetheless. Truly appreciate you, my man.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, my brother. Have a good night. What is truth? TV podcast. What is truth? Let's take it to the live stream. Please tell me what is truth. TV podcast. What is truth? Let's take it to the live stream.